This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Often said, you can easily tell what is not found at a particular vacation spot by what is not mentioned on the brochure. There is a lot of things that are not found there. While you're seated, Brother Donnie is going to go to my office and look on my desk and get my sermon notes. That tells you how long ahead I was preparing. I am turning your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 3. That's it. This is my iPad. And also John, chapter 7. Start talking about eternity. We're in it now. We start talking about the rewards of eternity. We start talking about heaven and all that it encompasses. Some folks get a little overwhelmed, as if we just can't do it. Everybody say, we can do this. Yeah, we can do this. Remember that we are in the middle of our 40 days of boot camp, where we are addressing basic training skills. That theme will continue today. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their heart of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John chapter 7. Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. My subject is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost baptism is the greatest benefit of Calvary. It is not a spare tire. It's what Jesus paid for. I cannot imagine Jesus enduring all of the agony that he endured, embracing all of the sorrow that he embraced, living through all of the mistrust and lies that he did. I cannot imagine him making that investment for optional equipment. I'm not talking about just a little tongues or a little stammering lips or a chill that occasionally runs down your spine. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that can happen to you. It offers to you the greatest advantage that's ever offered a man or a woman or a young person or a child. I want each of us to embrace a fresh appreciation for the Holy Ghost infilling, the Holy Ghost baptism, the Holy Ghost anointing, and the Holy Ghost empowerment. One of the chapters that I asked you to read aloud last week during our week of consecration was the 51st Psalm. David's prayer of repentance is one of the greatest pieces of reading in all of your Bible. There were some specific things that David asked God to do. Things like, have mercy on me, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly, cleanse me, purge me, hide thy face from my sins, create in me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit, deliver me. These are all things that David asked God to do. But there were two things that he asked God not to do. Number one, he said, don't cast me away from your presence. And secondly, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. There are a lot of things that I need for you to add to my life, but I also want to ensure that every moment of every day I will maintain my access to the baptism of your Spirit. Now the Holy Ghost must find a vessel. It doesn't float around out here on a cloud somewhere. The Holy Ghost is not riding a weather balloon from one continent to another. The Holy Ghost works in the bounds of human flesh. Paul said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And our text that I read out of John chapter 7, Jesus said, if any man thirst. 18 times Jesus said that in the Gospels. Any man. The most important thing in God's commodity is you and me. More important than mountains and brooks and streams and hillsides and snowfalls and clouds and canyons and ocean shores. If any man will thirst. You see, God meets you wherever you are, whatever your need is. That's where God lands. That's where he shows up. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit. And upon my relationship to that spirit hinges my entire destiny. I'm telling you, everything that's going to happen to me in that part of eternity that they just sing about has its beginning in my relationship with the Spirit of God. Angels do not rejoice over nice sermons. Angels do not rejoice over great singing or large crowds. But the Bible said when one repents, when one little girl on a Wednesday night out at the Quake House in prayer says, Jesus, will you forgive me? That turns up the heat in heaven. Heaven snaps to attention when one individual turns loose from their pew and walks toward the altar. That fires things up in the presence of God. it's most important to him. Now, I'm not just talking to you about being touched by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to you about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. If nothing supernatural ever happens in your life, that's a good indication that you don't have it. If nothing supernatural ever happens in a church, that's a good indication that the church doesn't possess it. That's right. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. That means that chains no longer are in effect. That means being bound is no longer the proper thing to do. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, people are loosed to find Him and reach to Him and hold Him and humble themselves under His mighty hand. Praise God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How can I say I'm a child of God? Well, the Spirit of God that lives in me gives witness to that fact. It will testify to that fact. If the Spirit of God lives and works and abides and remains in my life, and it affects all of my influences, then that gives testimony to the world that I am a child of God. Some people have, I don't believe, have ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They may have spoken in tongues a little bit, but I'm talking about something deeper. This is basic boot camp here. This is some things that we should have had control of in our lives many years ago. I'm persuaded that a lot of people have never really received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're always struggling, living as close to the world as they possibly can. Squalled a little bit, jabbered in a little bit of tongues, but there's no real fruit, no real signs, no real separation from the things of the world. I'm not just talking about being filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about being baptized in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, if we put you in that baptistry and one of our ministers baptized you in Jesus' name, we're not going to take a rag and, you know, wipe you on the forehead and on the side of the face. We're not going to do that. The easiest way to cover something in water is to dip it in water. That's why the Bible uses the word baptize, which means to immerse or dip. And when you are immersed down in water, when you come up, you got water everywhere. That's right. I've baptized folks that would come up out of the water, and for some reason they opened their mouth, and when I brought them up, I baptized their tonsils as well. I brought folks up spitting. I've had folks almost pull me down in there with them. I had a friend that was baptizing a man one time, and he had bought new leather-soled shoes, and every time he'd take the man down, the shoes would slip on the floor that he was standing on, and he would shove the guy to the bottom. Then he would get his feet back and pick them back up, and then those shoes would slip. And he would fall down. Three times he fell on top of that man. This is the man who one time told him, "Preacher, if you ever get me in the baptistry, you better keep me a long time." After the third time, he came up saying to Brother Wheeler, "I was just kidding. I was just kidding." I've seen all kinds of things happen. I've seen things happen in the baptistry that I can't even say publicly. But I know one thing. When you go underwater, when you come up, you wet. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a treatment of the Spirit that not only fills your insides, but it touches every part of you. It touches your brain cells. It affects every organ in your body. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, John said. That is what I'm talking about. When I say baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about something that may not have happened to you the night you first spoke in tongues. I'm talking about something that for some people comes in a process of time where all of a sudden your life takes on the nature of a person who is touched on the inside, on the outside, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if I am covered in the Holy Ghost, from whichever direction the devil approaches me, he sees the Holy Ghost first. From whichever direction he attacks me, he encounters the Holy Ghost first. That is why I am preaching to you about being baptized with the Holy Ghost, not just having a little experience of it, but being covered and surrounded all over by the Holy Ghost. If someone has to pry you or beg you or plead with you constantly, it's just a good sign that you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? I'm qualified to say that. If all you know about church is somebody coming back and dragging you back up here one more time, you know, and some folks are going to have that to be saved, and I've done that a lot. We'll keep on doing that. But after a while, I think, hey, you know what? You need to get a hold of something. You really need to get a hold of something. The church cannot have enough youth trips or men's breakfasts or ladies' parties to keep you saved. We can't put enough events on our monthly calendar to keep your kids loving God. Michael and Sabri cannot plan enough surge activities to ensure that your children will be saved. That's just a fact. They need to see what it means to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That means I've got to go after it myself. I can't just lay down in a hammock under a tree and sip iced tea and wait for Jesus to pass me by. I tell you what, he said, if any man's thirsty, let him come. Get up off of it and head my way. That is why it is very common at the end of our service that I invite you down here. There's no more Holy Ghost here than there is in that sound booth or in that balcony up there. There's no more Holy Ghost here than there was in my bathroom while I was shaving my face this morning, because it's in here. But what happens, it is a signal to my flesh that I am moving with God's people toward a designated place of prayer. I'm going to involve myself here. I don't want to just come up here and jibber jabber a little bit and say, well, that'll do me. I'm telling you, it's not Brill cream. A little dab won't do you. A lot of you young people don't know what Brill cream is. That's right. If as far as you ever get is everybody gathering around praying you up one more time, you don't have it. You just ought to get it. I'm preaching to you this morning as your pastor. You ought to get it. You ought to get full and get so full that it gets over on your outside. It makes you smile more. It makes you nicer. You don't have road rage. You don't walk through Market Basket with the expression of Mother Teresa. Act nice to people. That's right. Be a good neighbor. My neighbors that live right next to us, every week, they got these people out trimming their hedges and mowing their grass. dolling up their place. The kind of folks just ruin a good neighborhood. Every week, Sister Mahoney liked the way they did so much, she had them do a little work for us last year. And it's, you know, when you got neighbors like that, it puts pressure on you. You can't jack up your old 56 DeSoto out there with no tires under it. You can't do stuff like that. And you know what? We need to put a little pressure on ourselves about serving God.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Part of being full of the Holy Ghost is acting it. Please do not let it be said of anybody that goes to this church that those people are stuck up or what. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. That's right. Tell them you go to Living Way. That's right. I'm going to preach at Living Way tonight, and I'll tell them what I just said so you don't have to text them. You know what? When I come to this house, you know why I got so much out of what Brother Donnie was saying? Because I came to this house determined that I was going to do it. I knew what direction he had talked to me about what he felt. I came ready. I used to like to go eat at a little Mexican restaurant called Poncho's Mexican Buffet. My wife went a time or two, and then she threatened me if I ever even asked her to go back. And the quality of the food was not great, but the quantity was heavenly. You could just sit there and eat. You go through the line, you get all you want, you sit down. On the table, they have a little flag. And you don't have to look around for your server. You just raise the list, pull it down. The little flag goes up. And that tells them that you need, you know, some more grilled chicken and wheat tortillas or whatever. So I went in there. I went a few times by myself. And then I just decided, why do I want to go? My wife won't even go with me. I went in there one time by myself, got my tray down, set it down, prayed, raised my flag. Hadn't taken a bite. Just raised my flag. Because by the time they got back there, I knew there would be something that would be wanted. And when you come to church, put your flag up. That's right. Don't let God shock you at church. That is not a good sign if God shocks you. You should walk in the door with expectation. And what he says about preparing to pray. I've pastored you for 6 years, and I've been telling you to do that for 16 years. It's a truth. Go with a plan. So you don't have to sit there and go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Have something to say. Meet God. Be bold with him. Walk boldly into the throne of grace. You're not asking for anything you can do. You're asking him for things he's already bought and purchased with his own blood. That's right. So when you come into the house of God determined, hey, I'm not going to wait for the first song. I'm going to walk in, and before I even sit down, I'm going to put my flag up. Praise God. Praise God. You can't hold on to the spirits that some people possess and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I just don't care. I'm telling you, you cannot hold on to some of the attitudes that some people possess and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Quit making excuses for yourself and for your children. Just quit making excuses. I was 16 one time. I was not sanctified from my mother's womb. I was not born speaking in tongues. I started speaking in tongues when I was very young because of the example that was set before me. And the occasional threat of hell. It was talked about at our house. That's right. There wasn't a lot of tact. My folks got nervous about me. I was already 8 years old, and I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And my mother was just nervous about that. And so I took care of that. I was 16, but I was on my feet worshiping. That's right. Nobody had to beg me. And I didn't have as many distractions as 16-year-olds do today. But I want to tell you what, when we all get to heaven, we're going to be living in the same place. That's right, eating the same stuff, doing the same things. I mean, it's all going to be the same. And you're not going to get any slack cut for you because you had a little peer pressure. And Jesus said, well, you know, I expected more of your pastor because he was raised in a different day, but you were raised in 2014, and so I'm going to cut you some slack. Don't go to the judgment seat of Christ expecting him to cut you any slack. Just be baptized in the Spirit and live that way every day for the rest of your life, and it's taken care of. It's taken care of. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem, Luke 24:49. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Until you be surrounded and clothed with power from on high. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. You know what he's saying? When you walk into the house of God, put your flag. I'm not here just to occupy time, space, and matter. I'm not just in here to soothe my conscience. I'm walking in here with a purpose in mind. I'm going to pursue after you like a hart panteth after the water brook. I'm going to worship and praise you and magnify you. I'm going to lift up my hands in the sanctuary. I'm going to exalt and magnify the Lord. I promise that. But I also am going to make my petitions known. I'm going to make my requests known to you. I say, when you walk into the house of God, put your flag up and say, hey, you know what? I mean business here. This is important to me here. This is primary to me here. Hey, you know what? I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to just get a smattering. You can stand right now if you would like. I don't want to just get a little smattering or a little touch. Or an occasional ever 6 months throw a little Holy Ghost fit. No, sir. Every day that you see me, I've got my flag up. There's some petitions that I want to make before you. There are some things I want to hash out a little bit. I told you Wednesday night that all day Wednesday I was checking up on God. And I won't rehearse all of that because some of you are worried I'd get back in them stars. But after a while, you just have to get to the place where you believe what the Bible says about God. If you fall, get up and keep traveling. Don't stay down there and languish. There's no grace in that. That's nothing positive in that. Don't be a hypocrite. Act like something that you aren't. Don't do that. No, when you come to the house of God, put your flag up. Put your flag up. Praise God. Put your flag up. Brady, walk around and hold this flag up. Then give it to somebody else. Whoever he gives it to, you walk around, just give it to somebody else. Hold that flag up. When you come to the house of God, say, you know what? I'm here to sit at the table of the Lord because he prepares for me a table in the presence of mine enemies. And he anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hey, parents, your children will never be more spiritual than you are. Your children will never be more spiritual than you. You can't play games. The world is not playing games. The devil is not playing games.